You are listening to the raw voices of the Downtown East Side, with interviews, street encounters, and radio playworks within the Downtown East Side and environs nearby. I am your host, Jay Hamburger.
That was Jay Hamburger introducing one of his programs aired on Vancouver Co-op Radio. Jay was born on July 8, 1947 in New York. He died on March 26, 2024 in Vancouver, B.C. Jay Hamburger was a huge figure in the Downtown East Side. He was also a huge figure for CFRO. In the last Raw Diaries that Jay participated in, his son Sylvan remarked on the 76 years Jay lived on this earth.
Throughout his life, he worked passionately to foster community, support unheard artists, and protect the environment. Jay was a poet, an activist, and a teacher. Over the last 30 years, he directed and produced dozens of plays, notably as artistic director of Vancouver's Theatre in the Raw, as well as worked to broadcast hundreds of unique interviews for Vancouver's Co-op Radio. Alongside his efforts on stage and air, he was an enthusiastic gardener, an inspiring father, and a loving friend.
Terry Hunter is a community-engaged artist. He and his partner, Savannah Walling, run award-winning Vancouver Moving Theater and produce for the Downtown East Side Heart of the City Festival. He spoke with us shortly after we heard of Jay's passing.
So you can really have a great conversation with Jay because he really shared a lived experience with him. The other big pillar of Jay's work was, of course, the company that he founded, Theatre in the Raw, and the incredible work that he did with that organization, supporting local artists, actors, designers, directors, and also intentionally seeking out those voices that are not as heard, you know, in the mainstream. And Jay was dedicated to that. He did that work for decades and decades. And through that body of work, there's some real standouts for me that were really exceptional pieces of work that Jay did. One was Bruce the Musical, which was by Bob Sardi, his close friend. And it was about the life and times of Bruce Erickson, who's considered by many, certainly including myself, as the founding father of the Downtown East Side, along with other pillars in the community like Libby Davies and Gene Swanson. This is a really important story called about the life and times of Bruce Erickson and the work they did to have the Downtown East Side recognized as a residential community. Because before the 1970s, the Downtown East Side was not a neighborhood. It wasn't known as the Downtown East Side. It was Skid Row. Mm-hmm. And it was not recognized as a residential community, which meant that we did not have libraries. We did not have community centers. We didn't have any of the amenities that other neighborhoods have. And so that production stands as a real, you know, a shining example of Jay and his work at the best and the highest impact. And he also did a radio play on the Raymer Mothers, the Raymer Militant Mothers, who were a group of women in the 1970s who lived in the Raymer housing complex and next to the railway tracks going along Raymer. And mm-hmm. their children went to the Raymer Elementary School. Oh, sorry, Admiral Seymour Elementary School across the other side of the railway tracks. And the kids, the trains would come along and go on the tracks and block the path of the kids. There was no overhead pass for the kids to get safely to school. Mm. Anyways, they camped on the railway tracks and to advocate for a walkway to go over the railway tracks so the kids could get safely to school.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two real major standout productions that Jay was involved in that really highlighted and told the story, you know, really, really important stories of this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I think that was another piece of Jay was, you know, his real strong commitment to the downtown East Side. You know, he was a real ally of this community. He didn't live here, but he spent an extraordinary amount of time down here. He also for many, many years taught a writing workshop at the Carnegie Community Center. And it was very active, and a lot of writers from the downtown East Side were involved in that. You know, people like Patrick Foley, for example, who's you know, really an amazing writer, Joan Morelli, Leith Harris, you know, all really amazing downtown East Side writers. And so he did that for, you know, for many, many, many years. And that's actually when I first met Jay, was he was at the Carnegie, and he also provided us with a lot of knowledge and you know, his own lived experience about living in the neighborhood. So, and, you know, so there's that whole area of artistic practice in terms of, again, the radio play, the theater work, and the supporting the local writers in the neighborhood. But he also did it with such a big heart and a huge personality, very generous human being, great sense of humor, great storyteller, always full of good energy, full of life, and, you know, a really positive outlook on life. And he brought that positive outlook to supporting community. Jay was such a supporter of them, and they felt validated and valued and important, and that their work was important. So, you know, he really not only provided a platform for people, but he also did it in such a big-hearted, warm, and supportive way. I'm a bit shocked and stunned that he's gone, and I'm gonna really miss him, and you know, the big important role that he played in my life and the life of the downtown East Side and the life of the city of Vancouver. Yeah.
Actor, singer, songwriter, modern dance playwright, and filmmaker Donald Mourne recalls when he met Jay.
I think I met him around early 97. Mm-hmm. But I met Jay just on the Victoria bus stop. We started talking, and we were both sort of extroverted people. I think it was about talking about, you know, the needs of the people, because we both, you know, I really strive to help people less fortunate, the underdogs, and Jay, of course, is always like that. And then he had auditions for Waiting for Godot. So I took my guitar and my really differentiated character from my Indians and Dogs show, and I just kind of did my thing, and he cast me as Poser Potso. So that's how we started working together, got really close. Then 98, after a matinee of Waiting for Godot, June 98, we were all at Jericho, the beach, and then we had two shows that day. I guess I was exhausted. I was at my old Commodore Amiga computer, just sitting there looking at my view of Vancouver downtown, and I got a cramp in my legs. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I passed out, so I woke up, pouring, gushing blood out of my face. Ended up calling Jay, and Jay took me to the hospital then. And that's how we've been close ever since. We did Gershon Hartl's play, The New World Order, which he directed. And that was looking at political prisoners that were assassinated by COVID operations, like Salvador Allende in Chile. He affected so many people, right? Because his poems every night, he always had this sort of laid-back, bohemian, sort of well-respected, dressed artist. And it was warm. He was always warm and always caring. It's all about community, right? There's no one like him, right? He's an amazing man. And, a lot of people were shocked by his passing. Like, you know, he was a small theater company, you know, but he was always the other, you know, rooting for the underdog, always made sure his actors got paid. He was always caring like that, always caring about his actors. But no, he was a man for the people, like, absolutely. It was always about doing theater. Theater is for the people, right? He wasn't doing theater for the money. He was doing theater for the people.
Earl Peach, a politically active musician and conductor, joined us with his favorite memories of Jay.
Well, Jay was a very unique personality. He always came off as somebody who was kind of loving but irascible. He had a certain way of speaking, which I have to admit I sometimes mimic, as in, "That's marvelous! Marvelous!" You know, it was perfectly indicative of his character as somebody who grew up in New York as a Jew. And so, for a director to walk into a neighborhood like that and actually bring community theater to that neighborhood successfully, I think is a tribute to how flexible he was, how forgiving, and how, I think, really admitting of his own limitations, his own weaknesses. And that's what made it possible for people to actually be around him. So I think his ability to negotiate all of that was quite extraordinary. But I think it also cost him. You know, I saw him going through a lot of personal struggles around some of those issues. So, I think that's something that he did with there was a lot of personal sacrifice involved. He brought a lot of people up from basically having no skill to being very, very skilled and actually later doing work with theater in the Raw, like outside of the context of the Downtown East Side. And I can think of, quite a few people who were in that category. Some people who, if they hadn't worked with theater in the Raw or with Jay, they would never have had the opportunity to do what they did and perform for an audience the way they did. These are kind of enduring gifts that Jay provided them with opportunities to shine.
Carol Weaver, artist, musician, and sacred drum maker, spoke with us from her home on Gabriola Island, sharing her memories of Jay and the impact he had.
Can't believe he's gone, my God. He's the type of guy... I always kind of sort of make this assumption that he'd always be around. He's just that kind of guy, you know? And that was my sense of him anyway. Whenever you went out for lunch with Jay, if you could pin him down to do that, because he was a busy guy, you went out to lunch with everybody. You just didn't get time with just Jay. It was very rare. Everyone loved him. I'm kind of mourning, knowing the reality that I won't see him again. I can't believe it. The fact that he walked his talk as an activist was, he stuck that out true and true right as long as I knew him. And that's what drove him. But it wasn't until I was working at CCEC Credit Union on Commercial Drive later that the theater had an account there. And you always knew when Jay came into the credit union, it was loud laugh and voice, and that's kind of where I got to know him. And then it was just after I left the credit union that he hired me to come and work. You know, he was fun to work with. I just always loved laughing with the guy. I think that's what kind of caught me from the get-go. When he'd come into the credit union, you always knew he was there because he was a loud guy, and he just liked to have fun. And then, we always had a blast laughing together, you know, with everybody else that was around. Like, what I thought was really cool about Jay is that I don't know the history exactly, but he came out of New York and he was a part of the first troupe of Stephen Schwartz wrote Godspell in New York, and he was on that first cast when it came out, and he was a poet and good writer as well. I always loved hearing his poetry, because he'd always read a poem before every show. And so he wrote the lyrics to one of the most, I would say, beloved songs out of that show called By My Side. He mentored so many people and brought people into the theater world who went on to be actors and quite known actors and stuff like that. So, and he taught theater for years. Like, that's why so many people know him, because he's helped many, many people. He will be greatly missed.
Sylvan Hamburger has announced there will be a celebration of life to honor Jay on the afternoon of June 22nd. It will happen at the Russian Hall here in Vancouver, BC. More details can be found about that celebration at theaterintheraw.ca. This is Bernadine Fox reporting for The Pulse at Vancouver Co-op Radio and frequencynews.ca with funding by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program of the Department of Canadian Heritage, and distributed by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.